And so people ate that meat. And then the question for that community was this: can you eat that meat, or is it tainted because it was offered to an idol? Because it was part of that cult thing there, are you taking part of that cult if you eat that meat? And surprise, surprise, the church had a variety of opinions on this. And they argued their positions. One group were former idol worshippers. They were Gentiles, and they had some struggles with this. There were then these Jews who had a lot of thoughts about sacrifice, but in an Old Testament sense. And then you had what I'll call the logic heads. And they'd simply say, there's one God, so it's just meat. Don't worry about it. And then they looked down on everyone who couldn't embrace their brilliant arguments. And we have an issue to divide over. And we draw into camps and we fight. And this happens again and again and again in the body of Christ. I was listening to a speaker recently who said there were 30,000 denominations, Christian denominations. 30,000. Often divided over an issue. And in all honesty, I think it's one of the saddest things that can be said about the church is how divided it is. And somehow our unity in Christ doesn't seem to be enough. You know what? I believe Paul here is teaching us something incredibly important in order to teach us something about how do we deal with issues within the body of Christ. What should that look like? Because all of you who have been part of churches can share stories where there were divisive things and ugliness occurred and it split people apart. And Paul goes to much higher ground than simply picking a side and debating. First, he addresses the it's just meat crowd, the logic heads. There's only one God. Relax, eat your steak. And he says to them, you know what? Basically, you're right. You're right. Your logic works, but here's the problem. Your heart doesn't. Your heart doesn't. Paul says, you're not looking at the whole person. You're not looking at an issue that involves an entire human being. You're just all about the issue. Right? Maybe you've been in those kinds of situations where we demonize the other whose position they hold. We don't like the position they hold, so we can demonize them. A lot of that happens in the world of politics as well, right? And we forget these are whole people, and that's what Paul's saying. Some of these folks, they grew up sacrificing to idols. They fully participated in serving those false gods. And this shaped them. This shaped them profoundly. And you don't just shake it off. For them to eat this food is to go back to that life. And she said, some of them can't handle that. And go ahead, call them weak. But they can't handle that. And they need a complete break from all of that. And maybe it's not wrong. But here's the interesting thing. But it's wrong for them. It's wrong for them. So he's saying to these logic heads, get off your high horse. So it's, you can argue your position, but it's wrong for them. It's killing them. Don't forget that. Don't forget to include love and sensitivity in your process. And he hits that home, especially with verse 1 and 2, and he starts right off. You know, knowledge puffs up. Right from the get-go to all the logic. Knowledge puffs up. Boom. Love builds up. Love builds up. And then he goes on. Those who think they know something do not yet know as they ought. Right? You think you know so much, you don't know near enough. Yeah, you're a smart guy without a heart. Without a heart. And, you know, 6 times he uses the phrase in chapters 4 to 13, knowledge inflates. Knowledge inflates, and he's not using it as a compliment. And then he hits in the end there. Your logic is the sin. How you're using that, that's the sin. That's against Christ. You don't know enough. Because really, this is all about love. And I don't mean to be, you know, mushy about, it's all about love. No, truth and love. If I love you and I really truly want you to know the truth because I love you, that's a way different thing to say, I'm right, you're wrong, end of discussion. Those are totally different things there. It's interesting to me, if you look elsewhere in Scripture about this whole issue of food offered to idols, there's lots of Scriptures, Paul writes some of them himself, condemning food offered to idols, eating that food. Paul doesn't go there with that. I just threw one down there, Acts 15. This is the issue at the time of Acts 15 in the Church of Jerusalem was the main issue was circumcision. Another huge issue. And if you know your Old Testament, and at this time, it's a profoundly important thing to be circumcised to show you're part of the people of God. And they're having this debate, can we just dismiss this? Because this whole circumcision thing is problematic for some of the Gentiles. Joining the club is a little bit tough. When you read it, they say this. They say, you know what? If this is a stumbling block for the Gentiles, drop it for them. I'm blown away by that. And then he says this in Acts 15. In my judgment, therefore, we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. Instead, we should write to them, telling them, abstain from food polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from meat strangled animals, from blood. Right there, they said, don't eat that food. But Paul doesn't bring that into this discussion. He doesn't proof text them all the stuff he could have. He's appealing to their reason, because that's kind of how they think. Yeah, you can eat meat on your own time. That's fine. Go for it. But there's more going on than you. And how right you are. If what you do causes others to stumble, that's a problem. And calling them weak and just labeling them just adds to the problem. Because you are first called, first and foremost, to bless those around you. Here's the truth in church. We won't all agree on every issue. We won't be on the same page on everything. You know, one picture I've had over the years is the church being, and I think of Hope Community in particular, a church with a giant umbrella, and there's a whole lot of room under that umbrella. And everybody who comes under the umbrella is welcome. It doesn't mean we agree on every single thing, but our unity is in Christ. And so, yeah, you know, maybe we would debate something, but you know what? That's not the main point. You know what? All you who are married, do you agree on everything in your marriage? Some of you are saying yes. Yeah. We'll talk about that lying later. I mean, you know, just imagine this. My wife, Candy, disagrees with my brilliant logic. I just don't get it. Christians are going to differ. We're going to differ on small things, and we're going to differ sometimes on some pretty big things. Even with Scripture to guide us, even with the Holy Spirit to lead us, it's still going to happen. And being right isn't enough. And labeling isn't helpful. They're weak. They're immature. They're not Christian enough. You know what? I'm weak. I'm immature. I struggle. I got some issues to work on. I got a lot of growing to do. And I know you do too. And if you don't think so, that's one of your issues. Let me just say this. Let's all strive to walk together in God's ways as best we know how, supporting one another. You know, it's interesting. Paul says in Romans 3, he says, all have fallen short of the glory of God. All of us, every one of us. Not one person here doesn't fall short of the glory of God. We need humility, especially when we have issues that can divide. And Paul wants the Corinthians to seek righteousness, not just being right, righteousness, being like Christ, and then coming out of that, trying to be like Christ. What attitude is that? Have the attitude of Christ. What does that look like? Christ who came down to be one of us. Christ who hung out with sinners. You know, I said he hung out with prostitutes and tax collectors. And I don't think he lectured them all the time because they seemed to want to be with him. I'm sure he told them, you know, the woman caught in adultery, right? You know, I don't condemn you, but don't do that anymore. I love you first. We need to learn that humility. We see it in Philippians 2, where Paul writes, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. You want to know how high the bar is about our relationships? It's the same as Christ. You're supposed to relate to each other like Christ. That intimidates me. Who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to use to his own advantage. He could have trumped all the arguments. I'm son of God, you know. So I'm right. So, you know, he could have done that all the time. He doesn't. He comes to be with us, to know us. And then it says that he humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. We need that kind of sacrificial love if we're going to have problems with issues and they're going to come. Sacrificial love's where we start. Knowledge puffs up. Love builds up. You know, I imagine Paul thinking back on his own life. And he describes it in Philippians 3. Look at it with me. He says, if someone thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, and I would have been right, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness based on the law, faultless. So you want to argue with me? This is who you're arguing with. And then we know the story, but whatever were gains for me then, now I consider those things lost for the sake of Christ, right? Those things don't even matter to me anymore. And he has this road to Damascus thing where Jesus comes to him. And Jesus transforms the way he thinks. And that's what's going on here in this whole thing on issues. So let's commit to being like Christ. Let's learn to love like Christ. And then let's humbly journey together, knowing we all have a lot of growing to do. And then, when we have issues, because we will, we can start with love and humility, and then we can go together walking in this beautiful mess called church. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for being a God who came down to us. Just amazes me that you are that kind of a God. You didn't hold on to your position, but you came to be one of us so that we could know what love looks like, what grace looks like, what truth looks like, what life looks like. And for that, we praise you, and we pray may all of us learn to walk more and more in your image. In Jesus' name, amen.